I'm a PhD candidate at the UNC School of Public Health, and it's great to be here this morning to talk about the Management Academy for Public Health. Acknowledge the evaluation team and program staff because the data that I'm going to present today, the study, is truly a collaborative effort between the evaluation team led by Carl Umbel and the Management Academy program staff. So a little background about the Management Academy. It's a 9-month program, management development program, that's offered through the UNC School of Public Health and Business. It's a collaborative partnership and a very unique one at that. It trains teams comprised of state and local health department managers and community members, and so people arrive in their teams and actually go through the entire training in their team. And in the 9 years that Management Academy has been in place, we've trained almost 900 graduates. I think that's even more since we have 2 cohorts going through this year, and that's about almost 200 teams of public health managers. So what was the impetus for Management Academy? Well, in 1988, many of you may remember, there was an Institute of Medicine report called The Future of Public Health. And in this report, it called for improved organizations through improved management leadership. And in a broader sense, during this time and throughout the 90s, there was a movement in public government called Reinventing Government in this country that called for decentralizing government management and increasing efficiency and accountability through collaborative partnerships and innovation, and particularly entrepreneurial efforts. And I think you can still see the reverberations of that in things like the NIH roadmap and calling for collaboration and more innovation. It was originally co-sponsored by the CDC and HRSA, as well as the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Kellogg Foundation. And today, it's primarily funded through service fees, tuition fees received from trainees, as well as partly funded still by the CDC. Okay. This is a little blurry, but we actually have some of these in the back. For more information on the Management Academy, there was a special issue in the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice last year, and there are a few copies back there and more at the North Carolina Public Health Institute booth if you're interested in more detail about the program or the evaluation or some of the teams who have gone through. Okay. So the overall program goals are to improve public health professionals' management and leadership skills and increase public health organizations' entrepreneurial and collaborative efforts. The Management Academy curriculum, which I'll actually show you on this slide, occurs in 3 phases over the 9 months. And you can see in phase one, the trainees are offered courses in managing people, managing data, managing money, and they receive their initial business planning training. And then they proceed throughout the 2 courses, and during this time they receive coaching from business experts, which are MBAs who actually work with faculty at the Kenan Flagler Institute. And after their 9 months, they come back and they actually have a reflection process in which they present their business plans, they receive feedback, and they write about the process, and then they go off to implement their business plans and their teams. Okay. Now I'd like to turn to the focus of this particular presentation, which is the evaluation. And Management Academy has invested considerable resources in the evaluation, and I'm going to talk about one study that we conducted in 2006 as part of the larger evaluation. The purpose of the overall evaluation is to provide ongoing feedback to the program for quality improvement and also to measure program impacts. And for those of you who know something about management training, actually getting to measuring impacts is kind of a big deal, because a lot of what's in the literature is about the process of implementing training and how many people came to training. And so it's very exciting to actually work on a project that is trying to look at the transfer of training, as they say in adult education, or the impacts of training on practices. Okay. So for this study in particular, we were interested in both individual level outcomes, so things that the managers actually went back and reported that influence their practices, management confidence and performance, their work responsibilities and relationships, their desire to work in management and public health, and their commitment to professional development. And at the team level, we were interested in the extent to which they were able to implement their business plans and the factors that influence their ability to implement their business plans. And I'll talk a little bit more about what exactly a business plan is in just a minute. So for this study, we conducted a survey and we also conducted interviews. So the first thing that we did was we sent an online survey to all graduates from 2003 to 2005, so 3 years. And we had a 60% response rate, about 150 participants. And from those 150, we sampled one team representative, or we attempted to sample one from each team. So of the 52 teams, we were actually able to reach 39 team representatives. Okay. And so for the survey, we had both closed-ended and open-ended questions. And for the open-ended, we did some content analysis and generated themes. And for the interviews, we also audio taped the interviews and generated themes from the transcribed notes. Now to the results. Okay, I'm going to start with the individual level results, and I'm going to go through the study measures that I showed you, what we actually found that people reported. And this largely came from the survey data, but was also supplemented by interview data. Okay. So this first slide shows the degree to which Management Academy has improved your management confidence and performance. And you can see here that overall, graduates reported that both their confidence and job performance had improved as a result of participating in Management Academy. And what we learned in the interviews is one of the ways that confidence really manifested is that managers went back and they felt that they were more able to delegate tasks, they were better able to organize both themselves and their teams, and they were better able to network. So we learned that management performance and confidence are really related in this sense that as you build managers' confidence, their job performance improves also. One of the things that we asked about was increased job responsibility, and you can see here the bars in the red shows that in the areas of policy, program management, staff supervision, and community partnerships in particular, graduates reported increased responsibilities. And you can also see that for business plan development, about a third of the graduates reported that they had increased responsibilities in this area, which is pretty remarkable since most graduates attending had never developed a business plan prior to attending the Management Academy. So the next area are work relationships. And one way that we looked at this were reports on relationships with your supervisor and those you supervise. And you can see here that the majority of graduates reported that they had improved their relationships with both their supervisor, about a half with their supervisor and three quarters with people they supervise. About 3% actually said that their relationship with their supervisor declined, and although this is a very small percent, I pointed out here because later you'll see in terms of business plan implementation, relationship with supervisor and supervisor support is very fundamental to people actually being able to implement their business plans. So one thing the program is interested in is to inspire a commitment to ongoing professional development, as this is really related to growing effective managers. And so here you can see that the majority of graduates reported that they had improved their commitment to their own professional development, with almost half saying that it was a significant improvement. We're also interested in retaining people in public health, and once we've actually trained them how to be effective managers, to not have them migrate to other fields. And so we were heartened to see that most people had increased their desire to work in public health and also in management. Okay, so those were the individual level outcomes, and I'll now move on to business plan implementation. At first, first like to just talk a moment about what exactly a business plan is. And as I said, there's more information in the journal and on the Management Academy website. And there's also a book that the program has just published, Image. It's coming out this year. Is that correct? The third session that's specifically geared to developing business plans for public health managers. I won't go through each of these, but what I'd like to point out is many of these components are really analogous to the program plans that we know. For example, the formative research that for those of us who develop programs that we typically do is part of what here is called the industry analysis and target market definition, so really defining the group and understanding the context within which you're going to deliver some service or program. Many people in public health don't like the idea of competition, and this concept in business really is sort of understanding the market, who else is in the market actually providing services, who you may be competing with. But in public health, we actually think of it as not only competition, so understanding who duplicative services that you may be providing, but also who you can partner with so that you reduce duplication and also could enhance your own efforts by partnering with them. And then we have the marketing strategy and project operations and implementation, basically a description of what it is you're going to do. And something that I think we often don't have is the risk and exit plan. And in this case, this often is a description of how a public health agency, for example, implementing a plan may hand this off to others in the community in order to sustain efforts. So this goes hand in hand with the partnership, or how after a certain amount of time, if they're not generating revenue from the project, how they may actually shift and either end the plan and start a new one, or rethink their strategy. And of course, the budget always involved. Okay. So one of the things that we learned in trying to operationalize what is business plan implementation for a team is that there are many ways that teams actually end up implementing. And so in order to not underestimate the efforts of these teams, we realize that there are sort of three main categories in which they're actually implementing plans. And one is that the team took the plan and in toto they implemented the entire plan. And that's pretty clear. But the two others were that the team implemented some part of the plan, and we actually considered this to be implementation because often in any program, as you learn more and you start to implement, you learn that some parts may be more effective than others or redundant of other pieces, and so we certainly wanted to consider this to be plan implementation. And then finally, because this program is really a team-based, project-based learning effort, we had to think, well, what if all the team members don't participate, which is what sometimes happens? One or two take the lead, and they take the plan and implement it. But we thought that it was important to also consider this part of business plan implementation. And so there's sort of a nuanced understanding of what it is, but all of these we counted in business plan implementation. So a little context for this next slide. In the business world, I am told that 95% of entrepreneurial efforts fail, and so that 5% that actually go out and do something is a pretty impressive measure. And what we actually found is that about 28% of our teams, or almost 30%, were able to implement their plan. And so, interpreted within the context of the business world, we found that that's actually quite remarkable. And yet, being social scientists and wanting to improve the program and understand, we wanted to understand why the 60% who were not able to implement were not, if they were even able to launch their efforts at all, or if there were things that they encountered. We did have 13% who we interviewed, and they actually didn't know the status of their plan, and that's, as I said, sometimes teams, one or two members continued while others dropped off, and so in these cases, we counted them as don't know. Okay. So what this slide shows in the blue bar represents those who did not implement their plans, and the green bars show those who implemented their plans. And I think the takeaway, overall message here, is that graduates who reported that they did not implement their plan reported a much greater number of barriers that they encountered. And I think one of the most remarkable is lack of supervisor support, where you can see only 5% of those who implemented the plan said that they really didn't have their supervisor support, where more than 40% of those who did not said that this was an issue. And in the interviews, what we learned is that these barriers are really interrelated. So, and often the fulcrum is the supervisor support. So, for example, if people didn't have their supervisor support, then they often reported they had a lack of financial resources, they didn't have staff availability, and they may have had staff turnover and then weren't supported with replacements. And so lack of supervisor support, we found, is a really critical factor in business plan implementation. We were also interested in what other entrepreneurial efforts they engaged in other than just the business plan since attending the academy. And overall, we found that 60% of the graduates had initiated some kind of new project, grant, or business plan since attending. And again, what you see here is those who actually were able to implement their business plan, 75% of those people also implemented other types of projects, compared with about 50% of those who were not able to implement their business plan. And this also suggests that there may be some organizational factors that provide a more rich environment for entrepreneurial efforts, so that actually business plan implementation may be an indicator of whether or not teams have support overall in their organization for any entrepreneurial efforts. So in conclusion, we found that Management Academy truly contributes to management performance and confidence in great ways. And although I don't have them today, we have many testimonials to this from our graduates. It's a personally transformative process for them. Some participants may experience challenges with supervisors related to their entrepreneurial efforts. And as I said, business plan implementation is an indicator of sort of overall organizational environment. So I think the implications are this type of curriculum, being a team-based, project-based, with the capstone of the business plan, bringing the skills together, is an effective way to improve manager skills. But management programs like the training programs like the Management Academy really do need to consider these organizational factors. And one thing, for example, that we're doing is considering how we can upfront work with supervisors and organizations to communicate with them about the need for not only support, but sort of tangible resources in during the team process and during the business plan implementation. Like every evaluation, there are limits, and I think the first one that I have here is not necessarily particular to this study, but sort of inherent in studies like these, and that is, by design, this is a program that is intended to be an integrated experience where we have experienced managers coming in, learning new skills, and it's very hard when you ask them. They don't necessarily say, oh, that course on managing people really led me to this action. In fact, it's more of a gestalt. And so from an evaluation perspective, that can be challenging in terms of contributing or attributing the curriculum to an outcome. However, I think that we've done this in a very integrated way. And also, this study only represents people who are 1 to 3 years out at this point. And so what it doesn't show you is what people may do 5 years out. And so as they progress along, some of them actually were several months out of the program, and this may actually influence how they report about their implementation and their other projects. But we also found several strengths, and as I said in the beginning, one is that we actually were able to measure some outcomes, and I think this is really important to both for the program, but also to get out in the literature, to get a response to it, and to sort of grow this area of looking at impacts of management training. And we included both individual and team-level outcomes, and we're also interested in the future in looking at organizational outcomes. And we used multiple methods, which improved our ability to sort of For example, the interview helped us interpret our survey data. So I think this really improved our ability to actually make some contribution inferences. Okay, and here's the website. And as I said, I know the conference is wrapping up today, but we still have a booth at the North Carolina Public Health Institute if you'd like more information. And I'll take questions, I guess. Thank you. First question, how the teams are formed, and that varies somewhat, but the general structure of the team is that there are 4 to 6 members from often, for example, if South Carolina sends teams, they're from the local health department, and they may be across multiple districts, but there's some logic in the formation. So sometimes the logic is that the local health department is interested in working on a particular issue, and so they send a team. And there's always a community partner as well. So that's sort of the general structure. So sometimes they're from the same health department, and sometimes they're from multiple health departments. The second question about evaluation. Oh, community impacts. That's a great question. Actually, one of the things I'm very interested in are the organizational impacts. So almost even backing up from the community is sort of how do these people go back and then potentially transform how their organization works, which would also in turn influence the community. But I think more direct to your question is that we do have teams, because they are at health departments, they are able to track outcomes. And I don't know specifically the extent to which all teams actually measure, for example, if they're trying to address diabetes, changes in rates of diabetes. But I know that data is data collection and evaluation is a big part of the business plan. And so I think that also varies from team to team, but it certainly is an emphasis of the program to attempt to do that. Was able to sit in on sessions, and I was like, I would love to go through the training itself, because I think, I mean, for one thing, I think there's some resistance often in the perception of the business community, and there's some caution, understandably, in some instances in partnering with business people. But no, I've received no business training at all, and I actually think it would be a great enhancement to the curriculum to understand how to, I mean, particularly I'm coming out as a researcher, understand how to manage people, understand how to, you know, create a budget, things like that, that we receive no training for. From the business school who trained in this actually drew from several sources and would create a handout, essentially, that was really drawn from, was really intended for people in the business world. And so they, up until the point where they developed this book, which the book really considers the particular circumstances of public health managers, I think they were drawing on multiple sources to put together a business planning curriculum that sort of matched the needs of public health people. Exactly. There's readings. The actual courses are a mix of case study readings there's case study readings. There's sort of on-site sessions in which it's very interactive, where you go over the case studies and there's a literature related to every aspect of the curriculum. Yeah. So it's more of a notebook that was pulled together, yeah. So the main faculty, the teach them managing money. Actually, Jim Johnson, who is the head of a civic entrepreneurship center and social entrepreneur center at the business school, he's sort of the keynote and sort of he teaches on civic entrepreneurship, and we also have other tenured faculty who do teach the managing courses. The social marketing course is an adjunct faculty member. She was actually part of health policy and taught management to public health folk. And so in general, they are people who are affiliated with the university. Yeah. Question? Thank you very much.